Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
Yes, a good Tuesday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. As we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Heller has gotten your updates throughout the course of the morning as I am flying solo with you right here on CBS Sports Radio for the next 3 hours, and got a good show on tap and a lot to get into over the course of the next 3 hours as the baseball winter meetings are well underway out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and a lot of rumors and rumblings and a big potential three-team trade that is on the docket for the Marlins, the Yankees, and the New York Mets. And we'll get into that as the morning rolls along. But we begin with the Monday Night Football game, which went down last night in Seattle as the Seahawks have their way with the Minnesota Vikings, a game that both Bogish and I, yesterday, we both told you we liked the Seattle Seahawks, and that's the way the game did play out. And there's a fallout from the game. I mean, it was not a great game by any stretch of the imagination. And yes, the officials did miss a call on Bobby Wagner on the blocked field goal. And Jim Diapoulos is going to join us coming up in the second hour. So look forward to that. Former official in the National Football League. And we'll talk about all things officiating coming your way in hour number two during the course of that interview. But, you know, the Seattle Seahawks led this game at one point in time 6-0. They go on to the 21-7 victory. After that Bobby Wagner blocked field goal, they marched down the field. Carson with the 2-yard touchdown run, then the 2-point conversion, I believe, to Tyler Lockett. Then you get the defensive touchdown on the caused fumble by Kirk Cousins. Picked up, run back, 21-0. The Vikings added a touchdown late. Cousins touchdown pass to Dalvin Cook, which made it 21-7. But at that stage, it was all over. I mean, it was under 2 minutes to go in regulation. And after the defensive touchdown, or really after the Carson touchdown run, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's it. And the Vikings now fall to 6-6-1. And yes, if the playoffs started today, they'd be the second wild card team in the NFC. They don't, so they are not. And the Seattle Seahawks and one of the great coaching jobs this year, and we've said it a number of times throughout the course of the year here on Taz of the Moose, Pete Carroll has done one of the great coaching jobs this season for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, he is the oldest coach in the National Football League, doesn't act like it on the sideline, continuing to chomp on that gum. You know, for what they were to what they are, and how they quickly developed into what this team is in 2018 is pretty remarkable, because I did not expect the Seattle Seahawks to really be all that good this year, but here we are set to go into week 15 of action, and the Seattle Seahawks, after their 14-point victory last night, are an 8-5 football team, and deservedly so. At the start of the year, only three members of that great vaunted Seahawk defense were left. Earl Thomas and the two linebackers led by Bobby Wagner, who had the blocked field goal last night. An offense that, aside from Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson at quarterback, an offense that was trying to find their way and get back to what Seahawk football was all about when they really started, honestly, when they really started to gain a foothold, not just in the NFC, but in the National Football League as one of the dominant teams and a team to be reckoned with. And we all know about the 12s and that home field advantage up in Seattle, and it's a tremendous home field advantage. But this year, to be 8-5 and do what they have done this season is pretty remarkable. You know, they drafted Rashard Penny, the running back at San Diego State. He's flashed at times, but clearly has not been the guy. But that motivated Chris Carson, who's had a really good year running the football. The offensive line has been improved this year. They got back to the power ground game. And the defense is getting after the quarterback like they never have before. It's pretty fun to watch. And I'll tell you, I love those lime green uniforms last night. They were awfully sweet. especially during a night game and on Monday Night Football. That is a sweet, sweet, you know, different but and colorful, but a sweet uniform nonetheless. And if I were growing up in the Seattle area, that would probably be the uniform you'd probably want to go get. That jersey you'd want to go get. That's a nice looking jersey. But I digress. To the victor go the spoils, and that's exactly right for the Seattle Seahawks on this Tuesday morning. Wilson was not great. He throws for just 72 yards. They run the ball 42 times. They go over 200 yards rushing. It was an ugly football game for the first three quarters. They took advantage of the block, marched down the field, and made it a margin game. At that stage, the game was over, and the Minnesota Vikings weren't going anywhere. And now the fallout in Minnesota for a Viking team that after they added Kirk Cousins, you thought, all right, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with in the NFC. How could you not? I mean, they did get to the NFC Championship game a year ago with Case Keenum at quarterback. They added Cousins, and as you all know, I mean, I am a Skins fan, and I watch Kirk Cousins play a lot and gain a, establish himself as an NFL signal caller down in Washington as a member of the Redskins. And you know, the old rub with Cousins was, you know, he'd play well, could certainly throw it, fit into Gruden's system. We know that the Shanahans thought he had the potential of being a top 10 quarterback. That's why they drafted him in the same draft that they invested a high a pick and traded up to get RG3 when he was coming out of Baylor. But Cousins was always a guy that would play really well against bad teams and then play poorly when the pressure was on and he was playing quality opponents. That was the issue. Not that he would implode, he would just play poorly. And last night he throws for 209 yards. He does throw one touchdown, but does not lead the team on a game, you know, on a scoring drive until late in the game. Does not punch into the end zone until that's a 21-0 game. And now everyone's going to look at it, and you saw it last night over the course of the game. You know, money not well spent. Look at this. They were better with Keenum. But let's also not forget the entire story. It's not the only aspect that they just lost or they decided to move on from Case Keenum, who signed with the Denver Broncos in the offseason as a free agent. And he is, Kirk, that is, a better quarterback than Keenum. He just is. The problem with Minnesota this year is not the investment in Cousins. It's DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. To where there have been some that believe that DeFilippo is calling that offense up in Minnesota to make him look better as a potential head coaching candidate. Got to remember, he was frustrated down in Philadelphia, had opportunities where the Jets wanted to talk to him and bring him up to be the offensive coordinator. The Eagles would not let him. The only reason he got out of Philadelphia and is the Minnesota offensive coordinator is because the Philadelphia Eagles never thought they were going to lose Frank Reich as their OC. Because at that stage, Josh McDaniels had accepted the job to become the Indianapolis Colts head coach. In that short time span, then DeFilippo was then given the opportunity after Shermer agreed to become the Giants head coach to leave and go become Minnesota's offensive coordinator. He did. McDaniels then decided to stay in New England. And then the Colts were left holding the bag and they had nowhere else to turn and they decided to bring Frank Reich in to be their head coach. So that's where the Eagles' offensive staff was raided in the offseason. And I'll tell you, if DeFilippo is one of these great offensive minds and a great head coaching candidate, I got to see it. Because you want to talk about taking a step back, and I'm not gonna tell you that I think Zimmer is some great head coach. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. But I will say this. I don't think DeFilippo is a great offensive coordinator. And some of the play calls and the game plans that he has going into these games, I mean, got to remember, this is an offense. This is an offense where you have Cousins at quarterback, you have Dalvin Cook, you have Adam Thielen, you have Stephon Diggs, you have Latavius Murray. It's not an offense that is not without talent, skill, and ability. Kyle Rudolph at tight end. I mean, that is a really, really talented offense. And the Seattle Seahawks defense is good. Are they as good as they once were? No, they're not. But that's not the only example. There have been times this year where you've watched this Viking offense, and they flashed at times. I mean, it is 2018. Every offense in the National Football League at some stage in this season is going to flash. Hell, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Boy, you want to talk about a regression, and I'm not going to tell you that Kirk Cousins has played well, but I do think it's the low-hanging fruit, whether it be on Monday night during the course of that game or on this Tuesday morning, to rip Kirk Cousins a new one and say he's not worth the money. Listen, anybody and their mother is going to take the $84 million that was put on the table. No one's going to say, hell, I'm not worth that kind of money. What are you, insane? Everybody and their mother is taking that kind of money. And he happened to be in the pristine position to use all of his leverage for a team that looked at themselves as a championship caliber team that needed improvement at the quarterback spot and looked at Kirk Cousins and said, he is the improvement. Now, has he played well this year? No, he has not played well. Have the Vikings as a team played well this year? No, hell, they lost to the Buffalo Bills at home this year. But I will say, I do think it has a lot to do with coaching, because we do know bad game plans. I wouldn't say lack of preparedness, but I would say bad game plans can make any offense look bad. And I think you've seen that this year in Minnesota. I think you've seen numerous examples of it. Cousins wasn't worth the money of the contract that he signed, but he had the ultimate leverage, and he signed the deal nonetheless, and rightfully so. He's not a superstar quarterback, but he was an improvement over Case Keenum, and he is a more talented quarterback than Keenum. But for a Viking team where we have been waiting for them to find any sort of rhythm, offensively and defensively, where they were going to resemble the team that they resembled a year ago, and they flashed, they've just not been consistently great. And that's why they are sitting here on this Tuesday morning, they're a 500 football team at 6-6-1. And they deserve to be where they're at. They have been inconsistent, they have not been great. And last night, you could say that's a difficult spot to step into. I agree with you. But let's not make out the Seattle Seahawks to be the Chicago Bears this year, or even the Dallas Cowboys. You can score points on Seattle. You just have to know how to do it. And last night, it was a toothless attack from Minnesota. You lose a game on the road in which the home quarterback throws for 72 yards. In 2018 in the National Football League. Sometimes stats tell the story, sometimes they don't. And I think if you didn't watch the game last night and you looked at the stats from last night's game, you'll say, oh, well, Seattle got back to running the football. They got back to running the football the way that they did, over 200 yards on the ground on 42 rush attempts, because Russell Wilson was terrible. And as the Minnesota Vikings last night in the Great Northwest hopped on a plane to head back to chilly Minnesota, and they looked at that game, I'm sure that one is going to cause a sleepless night for Mike Zimmer, because the defense did their job. The offense did not. Wilson threw for 72 yards at home. No Doug Baldwin in the game, and you lose. But maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Maybe that's just 2018 NFL football. Expect the unexpected. Maybe it is. Maybe Minnesota's never going to find it. The clock is ticking. We've only got three games left in the regular season, and now they're in a fight to make them to get themselves into the wild card in the NFC. Not to win the division, because they're not as good as the Bears. To get themselves and earn themselves a wild card berth. As I'm walking around the studios, around the station this morning, you got all the Giant fans that got a little extra giddy up in their step, proud as a peacock as they've won four of their last five, and they're dreaming the fact of maybe getting themselves into the playoffs, ripping off the last three victories, which would begin with Tennessee at home this weekend as their 3-point favorite, and close it out with a victory at home against the big bad Dallas Cowboys. But yes, if you are one of these teams that have had a disastrous year, but amazingly enough, you find yourselves 2-3 games under the 500 mark going into week 15 NFL action, you can dream the impossible dream. You could think that things will break. As long as you keep winning and everyone else around you keeps on losing, you got an opportunity. But we talk about disappointments. And the Jacksonville Jaguars this year have been a massive disappointment. To the point where you are having reports on Sunday from Jason LaConfora from CBS that maybe Tom Coughlin will return back to the sidelines in 2019 and replacing Doug Marrone because he doesn't like the job that Marrone's done this year. Game plans, preparedness, the fact that the team has looked lifeless at times. We'll see. I mean, Coughlin's up there in age. What is he, 72 years old? We know he's spry. We know it's not a matter that he doesn't want to do the work. Talk about Coughlin's a workaholic. But we'll see at that. But I will say this. Jacksonville at least had Blake Bortles at quarterback. The Minnesota Vikings last year lost in the NFC Championship game and spent $84 million on a quarterback in the offseason. And I know Shurmur left as offensive coordinator. You want to talk about massive disappointments. If the Minnesota Vikings don't make the playoffs this year, they will be a bigger disappointment than Jacksonville. Now, that's hard to do. Now, that is hard to do. Because when you make that kind of a move for Cousins, it's not about winning 10, 11 games in the regular season. You want to do that. You want to make it to the postseason. It's about winning the Super Bowl. That was what was on the line. With all that talent and skill and ability, and with a roster that was loaded, Mike Zimmer was expected to get this team not just to the postseason, but to potentially win a Super Bowl. When you sat back and watched a little Monday Night Football last night, did that look like a Super Bowl team? I didn't see one. I didn't see one that was even close. And as Adam Thielen is telling you, well, the defense is doing their part. Our offense looks slow. Is that not a knock on DeFilippo and the way that this offense is being run and how it's being handled? Of course it is. Not going to call him out. He called out the players. But some of the game plans the Vikings have had this year have been atrocious, but also falls under the umbrella of the head coach in Zimmer. It will be one of the great failures you'll remember in quite some time. Because the Minnesota Vikings were expected to win, to be an upper echelon team in the National Football League, and they're far from it. They don't have a lot of time left to find it. And we've had this conversation before. The odds of the Minnesota Vikings finding it are pretty slim. Not at this stage. Now it's a matter of trying to avoid the embarrassment of missing the postseason. Let me ask you this question. I'll pose it this way. Which team do you feel better about making the postseason right now? And I threw the Giants out there. I'll throw the Vikings. The way the Vikings are playing right now, the Giants have won 4 of their last 5. You got Saquon Barkley running the ball down the team's throat. The team is playing inspired. They're generating turnovers, scoring defensive touchdowns. If you were to tell me which team looks better right now going into week 15, amazingly enough, I'll take the team that started the year 1-7. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. Your reaction to the Monday night game. How about where this Viking team is right now at 6-6-1 on the year? One of the bigger disappointments. If they don't make the playoffs, I'll tell you this, the biggest disappointment in the National Football League this year. And the Seattle Seahawks, just when you think Pete Carroll was dead, buried, Seattle is going to take a long time to turn that thing over. Here we are sitting here on this Tuesday morning. They're 8-5 in the driver's seat of making it to the postseason. And they don't have to do much. Not like they have to win two of the next three. If the Seahawks win one of the next three games, they're going to the postseason. Mark Malus is flying solo here on this Tuesday morning. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, Tuesday morning, Malus is flying solo with you. Take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose or at Mark Malus with a C. Download that podcast each and every day, radio.com and Apple Podcasts. And we got the show going with the 21-7 victory by the Seattle Seahawks in Monday Night Football, lime green unis and all. Heller's got the updates this morning. Good morning, Brad.
What's up, Moose?
How's everything, man?
Everything is good.
How was the Christmas party or holiday party last night?
It was really, really, really interesting. I mean, we had, let's see, first of all, you walk in and there's like the party, the club is downstairs, a club we're at, by the way, and there's a slide. You can literally, you can take the stairs, you can get in a slide and slide down to the basement.
Did you slide?
I did not. I probably should have.
Why not? Why not get into it?
You know what? I don't know. I felt like I was, you know, I was wearing a button down shirt. I was dressed nice, and but you know what? It didn't stop people from going down the slide.
A lot of you went. Did you go down the slide?
I did not. No.
Oh, why not?
Does he look like a slide guy to you?
He does. I mean, he's getting married in a couple weeks. Amazing. The clock is ticking. Still got time, Pete.
10 days.
I know. It's crazy how quickly time goes. So
bowling, pool,
ping pong.
Okay.
Jenga. There was, you know, these, the big, huge, like Connect Four boards. It was actually kind of cool.
It was a great place. How was the food?
Food was good. I mean, sliders and chicken fingers and these like mac and cheese balls or something. It was good. It was
an open bar.
I believe it was. I mean, I, you know,
did you partake?
I did. I had one drink.
You had one cocktail.
I had to leave early, so I only had one drink.
Bilotti, did you get loaded?
I did not get loaded, but I had a couple drinks.
You had a couple drinks. I was just curious if you enjoyed yourself.
I did.
Hopped
it was
in
a
the Uber.
Great time.
Lyft. You had a great time. I know. I asked Bilotti. I asked Bisseglia. He goes, no shot.
Yeah, no chance of that.
I'm not going. Last week, I asked Taz. I was like, you going to the holiday party? He goes, there is one? He goes, yeah. He goes, no, I had no idea. I'm not going. I'm like, all right. And I didn't go. I'd work. But I asked Bilotti to walk in. I go, how was the party last night? He goes, surprisingly good.
Yeah, I think, you know, next year, whatever your schedule is, like maybe block out a little time to drop in.
Well, no, we used to have them in the cafeteria here.
Yeah, lunchtime.
Right, at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And you had to wait online for a half hour before you wanted to get any food.
And at that stage, I was working overnights at WFAN. I was doing two overnights a week, right? I was doing Monday morning and Friday morning. I remember, you know, this was before CBS Sports Radio launched, and Eric Spitz was the second command for WFAN behind Mark Chernoff at that stage, right? And so the holiday party would, like, be on a Friday, and I'd get off the overnight, and, you know, Eric would be like, why aren't you going to the party? I go, well, I got off at like 5:40 in the morning. I go, the idea of going home sleeping for 3.5 hours and then driving back in bleary-eyed for a holiday party, he goes, I think you should make an appearance. It'd be good to make an appearance. I was like, okay. I felt inherent pressure to go to the holiday party that it was just like, I was like, I don't know if I could physically make it in order to have that turnaround to make it down here.
Yeah, and it's not like just a 20-minute drive back to work.
It's like an hour.
It's a commitment.
Yes, it's a commitment.
But that was also just for lunch in our cafeteria.
Well, they did more than just lunch. Right. Well, they had the chafing dishes out, and then they had the beer and the wine and the soda and
That's
the coolers.
True.
And then they had the music playing, and then they had people that were singing Christmas carols on the speaker with the microphone, right? That was the holiday party. No, yeah,
that was.
Am I painting it? And then you had the ugly
sweater.
No, that's
pretty accurate.
That's quite accurate. Yeah. I mean, I'm not painting a bad picture. That's the way that was the holiday party.
Yeah,
which is great. I mean, it is what it is. It's fine.
But a great meal.
Last night was very bougie.
It was definitely a different level.
I thought we made a mistake. We were at the wrong place.
Yeah, but then you saw Mraz go down the slide, and it was like, all right, I think we're supposed to
Pete,
be here.
Dump that.
What?
Take it away, Brian.
All right, Moose. This report's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll start with the Monday night game in Seattle. The Seahawks scored two touchdowns 18 seconds apart in the fourth quarter, including one on defense. They beat the Vikings 21-7 for their fourth straight win. Head coach Pete Carroll says they were fundamentally sound, especially with their tackling.
Our guys did a really nice job in open field, and we closed on stuff way better than we have. We've kind of been sporadic with it, but it was very consistent tonight. And really, it's a good statement here starting this fourth quarter of the season here to play like that on defense.
The only score for the Vikings.
Brian, did anybody at CBS Sports Radio embarrass themselves last night?
You know, I left with about an hour to go, so there was definitely potential, right, Bilotti? There was definitely potential for someone at CBS Sports Radio to say or do something that would have raised some
eyebrows.
Yeah,
it was brewing a little bit.
It was, but brewing's a good word.
But I felt like after I left, we didn't hear anything, so I think everything was okay.
Everything was okay.
Yeah.
But you know the individuals where it was brewing?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Go ahead, Brad.
We'll leave it at that. The only score for the Vikings with 1:10 to go. Minnesota's 6-6-1, still in position for the second wild card spot in the NFC. The Seahawks, they strengthen their hold on the top wild card spot now at 8-5. Meanwhile, the Raiders fired GM Reggie McKenzie. He was in his seventh season, but lost a lot of his power when John Gruden was hired. The big rumor at baseball's winter meetings out in Vegas, a three-way trade proposed between the Yankees, Mets, and Marlins, with Noah Syndergaard talked about going to the Yankees and all-star catcher JT Realmuto to the Mets, but USA Today is saying the Marlins are downplaying these reports. The Tigers signed pitcher Tyson Ross to a one-year deal. NBA LeBron James and Dwayne Wade meeting on the court one final time. LeBron guarded Wade as he missed the potential tying three in the final seconds, and the Lakers holding on to beat the Heat 108-105.
We always competed against each other. The 31 times that we played against each other, we pushed each other, but you know, we're not the boast and brag type, type friendship, type brotherhood. So at the end of the day, you know, and the guys had a hell of a career.
And James outscored Wade 28-15.
So what do you say? This is not the what kind of friendship? Boss and brag?
Boasting. He's not gonna brag that he beat him.
He's not gonna do that, right?
Right.
So this is the same crew that when they joined up in Miami, they had a hype party where they talked about not winning one, but two,
right,
but three, but four. They had the, you know, Miami cheerleaders out. Pat Riley was smiling ear to ear. Flames were flying all over the place in the arena. I mean, this is the same group. By the way, I mean, you would have, the way that this game was getting played, the final time that Wade and LeBron on the same court, I got to be honest, it made me want to puke. It made me honestly want to vomit. And it could either be here. You hear Wade and LeBron after the game say, well, it could only have been here at the Garden the final time we match up. Like, Dwayne Wade's the best guard the sport has ever seen. I mean, Dwayne Wade isn't a pimple on the rear end of LeBron James in terms of a career. And he's had a wonderful career. And this is a guy, mind you, when he was at Marquette, I got a picture with him down in New Orleans when the Orange were in the Final Four. Nice guy. Has had a good career, very good career, Hall of Fame career, Heller. But it drove me bananas last night as that game was getting set to be played, going on, and then afterward, seeing the reaction on social media, you would have thought Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were teammates for 12 years.
Yeah,
I get they're friends. I understand they were on a banana boat together down in Mexico. I understand that their families are friends. I understand they were together for 4 years on the same team. A successful 4 years. They went to the NBA Finals all 4 of those years. But they were not teammates for 12, 15 years.
And it was like the two of them were treating it like an all-star game and everybody else was playing it like,
oh my
this
God.
Is a competition.
It's insanity. I don't know what was worse, that or that Harold Baines is a Hall of Famer.
That's tough.
Poor Harold Baines, by the way. I mean,
you know, he could have gotten out. You could have gotten his frustration at the holiday party if he came, could have had a drink, loosened up a little bit,
bowled a little bit.
I do feel
you're taking
bad.
All this stuff to heart.
I do feel bad that I didn't go. Next year, I'm going to go. I'm going to make it a point next year to go.
Mark it down now.
Well,
I cut the tape already.
Are you done, Brad?
I got a little bit more.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Steph Curry at 7-3, scored 38. The Warriors won their fourth straight, 116-108 over the Timberwolves. Draymond Green was back from the toe injury. He missed 11 games. He had 7 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. The 76ers losing Jimmy Butler to a groin injury. We don't know how serious it is. Sixers beat the Pistons, though, 116-102. Celtics won their sixth straight, 113-100 over the Pelicans. Some of the late-night games, the Nuggets over the Grizzlies, 105-99. Clippers beat the Suns in overtime, 123-119. From college football, Kansas State going with North Dakota State's Chris Klieman as head coach, replacing the retiring Bill Snyder. All right, Moose.
Thank you, Brad. I'm glad you enjoyed the holiday party last night. Mr. NBA across the way, didn't it bother you, the Wade-LeBron infatuation?
Yeah, it really did bother me. It's enough already. I mean, come on, guys.
Swapping of the jerseys after the game.
Oh, it was disgusting. It was a love fest. You had a great career together. You had a great career apart. But
they were together for 4 years.
They had a lot of magic together. I'll give them that. But it was ridiculous. I mean, it was ridiculous. It'd be like if Pete and I were having this party together. Like, no one cares.
No, I mean, enough. They're making out to me. You got to be there the last time Wade and LeBron are on the same court at the same time. Who gives a rat's rear end? I mean, honestly, who cares?
I've got the Heat and Lakers in the finals, so I think they'll see each other again.
The one thing Spoelstra did say is that he was talking about LeBron, and this was a great comment. He goes, listen, I'll give him the Cavaliers, but I'll always think of him as a Heat player. He looks strange in that Laker uniform, and he's right about that. I'm sorry if you're an L.A. fan out there in La La Land and you're all fired up about having LeBron, the king, coming home, you know, the relationship with Magic and everything in the light. And I'm not telling you he's as good of a player as I've ever seen. I'd still take Michael over him, but as good of a player as I've ever seen. And he's a generational talent. But if you think LeBron, people are going to remember it 15 years from now when Bronny's dominating the NBA. And, you know, LeBron is watching him courtside. They're going to look back and say, man, that's an all-time great Laker. Get lost. I mean, honestly. Put something else in your pipe and smoke it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It is Mark Melusis flying solo on this Tuesday morning. Taz of the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Russell Westbrook. The guard posted another triple-double with 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists to lead the Thunder to a 122-113 win over the Jazz in Oklahoma City. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now. Hop online, geico.com. Mark Melusis with you here on this Tuesday morning. It is Taz and the Moose. Take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. And I was kicked off the program talking a little bit about the Monday night game that was a 21-7 victory for the Seattle Seahawks over the Minnesota Vikings, and touched briefly on it during Brad Heller's update, the love affair that we got last night in Los Angeles between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, and how the sports world needed to take note that this was the last time that these two players would be going up against one another, and two, you know, Hall of Fame players, one greater than the other. We know LeBron James, best player in the world and the like. But I guess I hate, here's what I hate. I you know, you've watched sports enough. You know when big moments happen. You do. It comes along with the territory. You know when big games are happening. You know, when we were watching the, you know, when you looked at the slate this week, you knew Eagles and Cowboys down in Arlington was a big football game. You knew Bears and Rams on Sunday night was a big football game. You knew Rams and Chiefs, a big game. You knew Chiefs and Patriots, big game. You knew Eagles, Saints, big game. I mean, Saints and Rams, big game. You knew when the big games are on the slate. You do know when big moments are. When it's the final season for Mariano Rivera or Derek Jeter or David Ortiz, you know when those moments are big, when they're going to have those final, you know, that final at-bat, that final pitch in the respective uniform, you know it. I don't need to be told when a big moment is. I don't. As a sports fan, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I don't need to be told. I don't need to be hammered home last night. You need to watch this because this is a big moment. This is James and Wade on the court for the last time. It's not a big moment. Honestly, it's not. You know, Dwayne Wade, the same guy that left the Miami Heat because they didn't want to pay him and went to Chicago, which was an absolute and unmitigated disaster. Then went to Cleveland. Then this offseason flirted with the idea of going to play in China. So last night, a guy that was looking to grab the cash and go play in the Chinese Basketball League, that guy I'm supposed to look at last night and say, this is the quintessential moment. I'm supposed to get out the Kleenex and say to myself, wow, what an NBA moment this is. The last time two legends are on the court at the same time. Give me a break. Now, you want to say there are two combatants? Two guys that couldn't stand one another? Where their teams battled it out? Where it was Lakers, Celtics, Magic, Larry. Where it was Celtics, Pistons, Isaiah, Larry. Where it was Michael against the, Michael, Isaiah, Bulls, and Pistons. You know, we know the Isaiah Thomas relationship with Michael will never. You know, they'll never see eye to eye. But you get what I mean. You know, it was different. Growing up in the NBA, there were actual big-time rivalries where guys couldn't stand one another. I think that's what Kevin Durant is trying to get to with what he is saying this, and kind of, you know, leaving no prisoners, even his own teammates with Draymond Green and what he had to say a couple weeks ago about LeBron James that nobody wants to play with him. He said, all right, no, everyone wants to be the good guy in the NBA now. I'll wear the black hat. I'll throw the hat on. I'll be the guy that everyone loves to hate, and I'll still go out there and beat you. And he's got a great team that's around him that'll support him in doing so. That's fine. And honestly, it's actually refreshing. Even though I think Kevin Durant is thin-skinned, even though I think Kevin Durant is in the perfect market in Golden State, I think if you stick him in New York, I think if you stick him in Chicago, I think he'd be reading everything and anything. A guy that created a burner account when he played in Oklahoma City and Golden State. If you stick him in a major market where the passionate fans can get a little intense, I'd be a little worried about Kevin Durant. But last night, Wade and James on the court at the for the final time is not some quintessential NBA moment. Dwayne Wade is a shell of the player that he once was. A shell. He won championships. He's an all-time great. Not the greatest guard the sport's ever seen. And LeBron and Wade didn't play together for 10, 15 years. Nor were they arch enemies. So last night in the NBA was a big moment because two best friends were going up against one another for the final time on the NBA court. And that to me is a quintessential NBA moment. Come on. Come on. Couldn't be further from the truth. You want to tell me, you want to know what a great moment's going to be? You know what a great moment's going to be? when LeBron and Durant are on the same court together. That's going to be a good moment in the regular season when they're going up against one another. That's going to be a good moment. You want to see what must-watch NBA regular season game? That's going to be a, because if you don't, you best believe LeBron James, you know, could tell what he wants in the media. You best believe LeBron James, just like Michael did, and Michael used to search the papers. This was before the internet. Used to look for anything and anything. Anybody that took a swipe at him to use it as motivation day in and day out. Oh, you don't believe? You don't believe in Charlotte? You don't believe in San Antonio? I'll show you. I'll make you believe. And you best believe LeBron's going to use that as motivation. That's going to be a great moment. Last year, when you had Westbrook going up against Durant, great moments. Those are intriguing NBA moments. Because you know two guys that literally can't stand one another on the same court, now playing for opposite teams. It was more so 2 years ago, but you get the point. Going up against one another, those are great moments because you know both guys are dying to beat the other. As Heller told you, as Biseglia told you, as you witnessed last night, it was like an all-star game. There was no intensity. It was a celebration of what? Two great basketball players that have enjoyed two amazing lives, that have celebrated championship together and are best friends. That's a great moment. I've seen better, but I guess in 2018 NBA, I guess it is. Let's hear from Wade afterward.
Yeah, I demanded it. You know, this last time I was going to be able to guard him, you know, so I waited to the end. Just like he know my moves, I know his, so if it was going to be ISO, I knew what he was trying to do. I knew what he wanted to do,
yeah,
what he called picks up on me. And but, you know, just wanted to, you know, enjoy the competition, you know, for the last time.
Yeah, for the last time, right. I mean, come on. Here's LeBron James after the Laker victory.
Like I've been saying all week, it's bittersweet, man. Every possession, you was just like the next one is getting closer and closer to the last one. So a lot of emotions going on right now for me, just knowing I'm losing a brother in this game that I've had so much, so many wars with, so many wars on each other together and separate. So there's no better way than to end in the Staples Center, man. And this is my guy, man. This is my guy.
For what reason? Like there's some history in the Staples Center between Wade and LeBron? Just like you said at the end of it, it could only have been the Staples Center or the Garden. The Garden? Where, I mean, honestly, why do the Laker fan, why did it only have to be out in Los Angeles? Or it would have been better served, if it was down in Miami.
Oh my God.
Or Cleveland. You guys were actually teammates in those two spots, Miami and Cleveland. And the Cavs got rid of the Wade because he couldn't play anymore. But last night, it only had to take place at the Staples Center? Because of some rich tradition of LeBron as a Laker? How many games have we played? 30 in the NBA regular season? What are we, 30 games into LeBron's Laker tenure? And it had to be at the Staples Center? It was tough. I had to be honest with you.
There's no better way than to end in the Staples Center, man.
Yeah,
and,
come on. And oftentimes, I let this stuff go. I really do. But it got to a level last night, to a nauseating level, where I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the hell is going on with our lives right now? What are we doing as sports fans right now? Where you have LeBron in his first year as a Laker, Wade a shell of himself. They're treating the game like an all-star game. There's little to no intensity. Wade wants to defend LeBron one last time. LeBron is actually crying after the game that Wade's retiring. LeBron, you're going to see him again. He's not being sent to Mars. You'll see him again. Here's the message to LeBron. He can't play anymore. Pigskin Pileup comes your way next. Taz Moose, Mark Melusis is flying solo. It's a Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.